This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back, Charlotte Soccer Show. It's the season preview show. I'm John Hayes. Danny Brams is here with me on this beautiful Sunday. We're less than 2 weeks away from Charlotte FC kicking off its fifth season in MLS. Still no trophy, Danny. When's that coming?
Where's the hardware, Johnny? Where's the hardware? Hard to believe. If you would have thought when we started this whole project four or some plus years ago that we'd still be searching for hardware in season five, I think you would have been pretty disappointed, and you look, sometimes I see you look disappointed when you're talking about it, but hope springs eternal, and it's a new season, and there's trophies out there to win, so we got a quest to go win them. Let's go.
We're going to go through the stages of the campaign today, get you prepped for the 2026 season. We're officially in 2026. It's been a wild start to the year on many different fronts. Hard to believe it's already February 8th as we do this recording today. And specifically, the reason why I want to call out year number five is because as much as I'm looking forward to Charlotte FC and another MLS campaign, I'm very much looking forward to the World Cup this summer, Danny.
It's a World Cup summer. There's a huge break in the MLS season from the end of May to the end of July. We're going to go through that as we go through our stages of the campaign episode. This is an annual tradition that's become on Charlotte Soccer Show, Johnny. It's kind of a motif that you introduced in our second season of the campaign.
I thought you introduced it.
No, this is you. This was you. I think I may have like been the one to like lead like the where the breakdowns were, but I credit you with this idea, just the idea of the campaign and taking things in stages, and you gotta take part of this part of the season before you can get to that part of the season. And I know the players and the coaches are always gonna say, oh, we go game to game, da 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 da, but I've always enjoyed this metaphor of the campaign, and so I went ahead and broke down the season into stages, got some custom graphics for those who are watching on YouTube. We thank you. Hopefully you enjoy the graphic work. If you're just listening, you should be able to enjoy things as well as we sort of look at. I've got six stages for you, Johnny. I got six stages to break down, and we're going to get into that. Before we do that, though, we should say we're recording this the day Charlotte FC is out in Coachella. They're in warmer climates than we are. It's kind of cold weekend here in Charlotte. But out there in Coachella, Charlotte FC lost their first match of the Coachella Invitational to San Jose 1-0.
Scrimmage.
We don't have any highlights. There really were no highlights to show.
It was a scrimmage, right?
No. It was a match. They play a scrimmage today here on Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday, which is a good tease because Dean had something to say about that terminology. As I felt like this was midseason form for Dino. He's already killing it with the press conferences.
You know, for 45 minutes, I was really happy. I thought we were much the better team. I thought possibly we should have had a penalty. I thought Wilf was in the penalty box.
You got a quick preseason scrimmage tomorrow. Is there anything that you're looking to get accomplished for?
Yeah, friendly, not a scrimmage.
We We had the hat trick. We got complaining about the refs. We got saying we were the better team, even though we lost. And we got making fun of American soccer terminology. It's absolutely brilliant stuff from the Gaffer, Johnny.
You know why musicians and artists create greatest hits albums? Is because people like listening to your best stuff over and over and over again.
Yes, and exactly.
He knows how to play the hits. I mean, he's always going into a bag of tricks. And and that press conference, you could just drop that press conference into any loss throughout the campaign, and it'll sound about the same.
100%. So good. So good. But the campaign is on, John. And so we're going to get right into this. And I think if you've looked at the schedule, you know some things. We flashed it up briefly, just the first three matches. I think this is the first time you can fact check me on this. This is the first time that Charlotte FC has opened with two on the road before being able to come home. In our previous four seasons, I think we either had a home opener in the first match or in the second week was our home opener. So this is the first time we've played two away matches that I can remember. Could be wrong about that. But with that in mind, we're calling the first stage of the campaign the Frosty First Steps, John. And it's cold. Two matches in February, which is a little different. I know maybe we're getting things underway a little earlier for the World Cup. And we mentioned the custom graphics here. We got Frosty First Steps out to St. Louis and Los Angeles. Not exactly the coldest places on earth, but it is still February, like I said. And this is a chance to go get some points against two teams that were kind of also rans in the West last year, Johnny. It's if we're talking about a campaign and a special forces mission out into road enemy territory to get things started before we come back home, you don't hate the motif.
I've got to say, it's very timely. That looks like it could be Greenland there in the background.
Oh, my God. There we go.
I'll tell you what, Danny. These Frosty First Steps, St. Louis, this is a big match. It's a huge match. And, you know, you could have convinced me to put that one in its own stage of the campaign just because you've got two expansion franchises here and you've got a bragging right. St. Louis is a team that has frankly had more success than Charlotte FC. And its inaugural season, St. Louis did phenomenally well, but then they backed it up with a very poor season.
Yeah.
Right. But I think St. Louis
is the number one seed, which is great.
Yes. I think St. Louis has reached higher heights. But I also think that Charlotte has shown more consistency, but you can do that over 4 years compared to two. So I think this is an interesting match. I think it's a match that, because the campaign is so long, a win or a loss or a draw. I've learned to love the draw. I'll take a draw in this opening match on the road in St. Louis. I'd rather not lose than go over there and lose to St. Louis. I know the crowd's going to be super excited. They've done a really nice job over there in St. Louis. And, of course, Galaxy earlier in the year reminds me of the first match in club history playing Galaxy very early in the season. And now Charlotte FC gets to head out west and play the Galaxy early, which I really appreciate. I think Galaxy is a great opponent, and I'm super excited. I think Charlotte FC starts the season with two really quality matches.
Yeah, I'm a little hungrier for wins, I think, than you just expressed right there. I know you are learning to love the draw. I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, maybe that can be something that the listeners of the show can come to realization moment of just like, do I learn to love the draw? Do I follow Johnny's footsteps? Do I embrace the draw like Johnny has done? It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it's all about the road matches, Danny. It's just about going on the road.
I want to see. I think St. Louis is. I don't think you talked about highs and lows and a higher peak. I agree. You know, being a number one seed in the West in their first season is a high peak, but they completely crapped out in the playoffs that year, and they've been garbage ever since. So I don't think a draw. Can't feel as good about a draw in St. Louis as you might. That's fair, though. I think a draw in LA would be great. Galaxy, like I mentioned, they were and also ran in the West last year, which is true, but they are in CONCACAF Champions Cup because they did so well in Leagues Cup. They're an MLS iconic franchise, obviously, the place of Beckham and Landon Donovan. So anytime you're going to LA early in the season, I think a draw. I'm very happy with the draw there, but I'm going to say let's go get six. You know, let's start the season with 6 points. Charlotte FC road woes have been well documented, so maybe that's a little ambitious on my part. 4 points would be amazing, I have to admit.
Well, we're starting off the season right here having this conversation because I think this is right. I think that you're looking at this year as an opportunity for Charlotte FC to continue its success. I don't feel great about the squad this year. I think draws on the road will be as good as a win. So sign me up for 2 points after the frosty first steps.
Get frosty, back here. You know, like they say in the ring corps, stay frosty. You know? Stay frosty. Keep your wits about you when you're on the road. So for sure. Stage two, Johnny, though, is the long march home. After the frosty first steps out there on the road, we actually get a huge stretch of home matches.
Show me the graphic for this.
The early part of the season is back in chunks.
Wow.
And we welcome Austin FC in the home opener at Bank of America Stadium on March 7th. Immediately have Messi come to town right after that. The hated Red Bull New York. And then the Standard Bearers of Philadelphia Union, a club we measure ourselves against, a club where we're quality rivals with, if not geographic. And then Nashville, just a club that I really have grown to really dislike. I don't like Nashville SC at all. Bad experiences with them in my time as a Charlotte FC fan. All these matches at home, Johnny, the long march. It's a play on words because these matches, most of them happen in the month of March. But some of them are in April because that's just how long this march is. This March homestand is so long it goes into April.
It's super exciting. I mean, think about the clubs on that list. If you're a soccer fan, you know, like most of you are watching or listening to this show, again, as much as we want Charlotte FC to do well, just enjoy what you've got in front of you here, Danny. If you throw that graphic up one more time, I mean, you're talking about some of the best clubs in the league, not just in recent memory, but historically. Miami, clearly the best team in MLS and has been the best in MLS. Defending chance. You got Philadelphia Union, the defending Supporters Shield champs, a club that is quite frankly the model, the standard for a lot of clubs in MLS. New York Red Bulls, I do consider New York Charlotte's second biggest rival after Atlanta, of course. Mm-hmm. And then really fun matches around as well against Nashville and Austin. So if you like soccer, if you're thinking about going to the Keep and getting over there to Bank of America Stadium earlier in the year, plan on it, because you're going to not just see great soccer from Charlotte FC, you're going to see great soccer across the MLS. So if you're really looking to scratch that soccer itch and you're asking yourself, man, Charlotte FC, it's year five. Am I that into it? Am I going to enjoy this season? I'm not trying to give you a sales pitch, but what I'm trying to tell you is if you want to get ramped up for the World Cup, you got a place to do it. At Bank of America Stadium. And that's after this, by the way, after this long march, USA versus Senegal is going to be in Bank of America Stadium at the end of May too as well, Danny. So it's just, there's so many good games at Bank of America Stadium. Can you believe that? Like, think about it. 6-7 years ago, this club was just kind of just a thought. And now looking at that schedule of home matches, how does it make you feel as a fan, but also as a fan of MLS?
I love it. I never would have thought Miami would have been that good. You know, back when Charlotte FC started, Miami was a club that we openly mocked and made fun of. Since then, they've invested so much. They've gotten creative with the rules, as some like to explain away, and really created a super club. So that's interesting to see. I love Charlotte in the springtime. If you look at the dates of these matches, it's five matches that stretch from March 7th to April 11th. That's going to be great times. You know, it's before any potential Hornets playoff push. It's, you know, right in the heart of.
Hey, I'm going to stop you right there.
Where everything's going on.
I'm going to stop you right there.
We have a chance to own the city here, Charlotte FC, and really make a presence felt. I think it's a good thing. This is what we wanted when we dreamed of what Charlotte FC could bring to the city, which is a big-time soccer club playing big-time matches. New York Red Bull are an all-time MLS franchise, whatever I may think about them. Austin FC, mixed results since they came into expansion, but they've got the Matthew McConaughey Association. They have a great stadium and a great culture that they're going to try to come be seen. Like any Austin fans that come to Charlotte for that match are going to be engaged in a culture war, and you know, it's not – red state versus blue state, but it's green soccer fan base versus royal blue soccer fan base in terms of two relatively new franchises and clubs that are trying to show off who's got the better culture after 5-6 years in MLS. So I think that's cool. Again, I hate Nashville. Philly always seems to think they deserve to win whenever they come here, and then it doesn't always work out for them so well. So they
That's an important point that you just made, Danny. I think that's a really important point about teams expecting to beat Charlotte. And I think there's a lot of teams in MLS over the last 4 years that did expect to beat Charlotte and did beat Charlotte. I think that that's what an expansion club is for. I think if you've been in the league for a long time and you have another club come in, you expect to win those games against expansion teams. You do. And I think Charlotte has done a really nice job of inviting teams to its stadium and saying, no, that's not how it's going to work. Now, on the road, totally different story. That's why I've learned to love the draw. It's so much better not to lose on the road, and that's what Charlotte has to do. But I'm not concerned about that during this stretch, right? During a home stretch at home, I'm not learning to love the draw. I'm expecting to win. And I think Dean Smith is expecting the same thing, and he's got to get the best out of his players throughout the early spring, because if this team is not ready to play, I think that's one – I think one last point I want to make about the first, I guess, seven games this is. If the team's not ready to play, they're going to be in bad shape.
Yeah, you can't blow points in that home stretch. You get five of the 18 what games you get at home, and five of them are in a big chunk right at the beginning. You cannot be dropping points, even though the competition is tough. And then, Johnny, it's a perfect segue because stage three, we go into all quiet on the Eastern Front. After a big block of home matches, got to go on the road to New York City, to Orlando, back to Nashville. This wraps up the season series with Nashville before the calendar even turns to May, I believe. I think we play them twice in April. You can double check me on that. But it might then the Revolution at New England Revolution, at Cincinnati, at Toronto. These are Eastern Conference battles. This is the teams we're going to be fighting for mid-tier. You know, if Charlotte FC doesn't end up competing for the top of the East and is in that dogfight, that trench warfare, you know, all due respect, not trying to insult any World War I veterans out there who might have left a legacy, not trying to mock trench warfare, but it's vicious. And these are going to be vicious battles. These are road tests that need to be won for Charlotte FC as they get into the meat and the heart of this campaign, the meat grinder, if you will.
I'll put it this way. If there's any World War I veterans out there, I'd like to meet you. You've lived a great life. And but those graphics, I mean, that one actually scares me a little bit. You picked a good background. You throw that back up there. Yep. So I could talk through it. Like you picked a really good background for this one, because even though it says all quiet on the Eastern Front, this scares me a little bit. This certainly scares me a little bit, because I see New York City here. I see Orlando. I see Nashville. I see teams that Charlotte FC, that's the beauty of MLS right now, is that some people want to act like some of these games are easy to win. Charlotte is a better program and a better club than a lot of these teams. I think that the secret about MLS right now is that the league is just like has unbelievable parity. And then any match on any weekend or any weeknight, any midweek, I think anything could happen. So while it is all quiet on the Eastern Front here, and we're going to run through the Eastern Conference and play all these teams and try to figure out where all these clubs find themselves on the table, it could get loud very quickly during this stretch. And when I say loud, I mean, what's Wilfried Zaha doing past June after the World Cup break? This is going to be a moment in the season, Danny, before the World Cup, where the tone is going to be set for post World Cup. Is that right?
Yeah. And it's what it is it's a beginning and an end to some of these season series, because we play two games versus NYC, April 18th at NYC, May 13th versus NYC. We play at New England on May 2nd. We play versus New England on May 23rd. So our season series is our ending with New York City, Nashville, and New England. And in theory, those are clubs that we'll be in direct competition with for playoff places. So it's when I put all quiet, things are going to be quieted down in those series at the very least. And it's going to be what you just said, which is the way things are going to pan out after the World Cup will be the seeds will be sown and the stage will be set right there in this phase, this season, this stage three of the season, the campaign before the World Cup kicks off.
I'm excited that you've made these graphics too, because I got to look at all the MLS crests, and I have to say that the MLS to me has the best. This is gonna probably piss off some people, but that's all right. I think the MLS crests are some of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. I think if American soccer has gotten anything right, it's the fact that making these crests, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be unique. It's not supposed to be, and that's the beautiful thing about MLS. There's not like, you know, 100 years of tradition where you've got the same crest over and over and you're afraid to share it. I think what's really fun is in MLS, I mean, look at the hat you're wearing now. I mean, yeah. MLS is not afraid. There's the crown in that neon yellow. I think MLS is not afraid, I think, to stand out and be unique based on these crests. And I think it makes the league better. I think it makes the league fun. And it's exciting. And I think these crests have an ability to become world renowned. But that's what the Club World Cup does. That's what someone like Messi coming into MLS does. That's what all of these crests are about. And of course, Charlotte's crest, one of the better ones in the league, in my opinion. So that's the goal here. That's the goal here. You're trying to create a club. You're trying to create a league that is world renowned. And the fact that you can just log into Apple this year and you don't have to buy the extra package to watch MLS, I think that helps a lot. I think people across the world are going to watch MLS more this year than they have in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the extra click to the that one extra paywall is a huge barrier to a lot of people. It doesn't necessarily have to be, but it is based the fact that it is. And there's going to be fresh looks. People who have never watched MLS before will be watching this year. And I think the crests do a lot to attract that. So I agree. These matches, we don't know exactly who's going to be good necessarily. Some of these could turn out to end up being walkovers. Some of these could be tougher than we first are thinking right now. They will. Some could be easier, but yes. All about Eastern battles that are going to determine placement before the World Cup kicks off. And then, Johnny, it's a long break. And I didn't make this an official stage, but we can sort of talk about it here as a bit of an intermission, because after May 23rd, Charlotte FC doesn't play another match until July 22nd. We'll get to stage four in a minute, but with the World Cup coming here, being in the United States, with U.S. Open Cup will have taken place during that last stage. Also, U.S. Open Cup fixtures mix in that stage three. We don't know who they'll be, but Charlotte could be involved in that. But it's just a long sort of breather and a celebration of worldwide global soccer here in our nation, in our continent. And it's pretty damn cool if you think about it.
Yeah, if you think about it like a meal, I would consider this first part of the season that we've all just went through as the appetizer. That's the appetizer to what is the main course, which is the World Cup this summer. The entire soccer universe is centered around the World Cup in North America in June. And I mentioned the USA-Senegal game earlier, and I think that's the best part, right? You said 5:21 is the final Charlotte FC game before the break, and then a week later, guess 5:23. Excuse me. Then a week later, USA versus Senegal, where potentially Patrick Ajuban could make his return to Bank of America Stadium under Mauricio Pochettino and the United States men's national team. I mean, it's legitimately possible. Patrick Ajuban is having a fantastic campaign with Derby, continues to score goals, didn't have a great match over this weekend. Looks to potentially pick it back up, but he's got, I think, 9 goals and 3 assists at the time of this recording. And who knows what's going to happen with the United States men's national team and with Pat. So that's one big underlying story, I think. If you want to see Patrick Ajuban back at Bank of America Stadium, you've got a chance. Follow Derby County, see what happens over the next couple, 2-3 months at the end of the EFL championship season. But, you know, the reason why I call it the entree, and I'll push back a little bit about you calling it the intermission, is that I'm going to be just totally straightforward. I know that this is Charlotte Soccer Show. I know what we do is cover Charlotte FC and MLS on this podcast, but in no way, shape, or form am I going to act like this year that that's the main event, because it's not. MLS is going through a transitional period. MLS is a beautiful, I think, branch of the tree, if you will, right? I think you think about the trunk at the World Cup, but we've got MLS. And that's fantastic. We're going to get our soccer fixed, but we're waiting for the best players in the world to descend upon North America. Yeah. Just absolutely phenomenal. And to think that we get to ramp up to the World Cup with our Charlotte Football Club playing matches, getting us excited, getting in the mood to watch soccer, that to me is what's most important this season. So I cannot wait until June. It's almost unbelievable. You know, these time moves fast, right? I think we complain about that a lot, Danny, how, oh man, these weeks just fly by. These years just fly by. How do I slow things down? But in a situation like this, man, it feels like the World Cup was in Qatar just a few days ago to me. Time really flies. And here we are. We're on the brink of another World Cup here in the United States. And And I can't wait for it, because the winner of this World Cup, I think, is going to be remembered for a very long time.
I mean, I still have vivid memories of being in high school, Johnny, a little bit older than you and some of our audience, but in high school during the 94 World Cup, watching matches, falling in love with the game on that level. Not a game I grew up with. You know, I grew up in a house where, you know, soccer was for, you know, weirdos, but we were a football family, you know. But that 94 World Cup is where I sort of branched out on my own in sports, and there's, you know, fell in love with the World Cup all those years ago in the United States. Now it's back. So much to be said. I called the World Cup an intermission strictly in the Charlotte FC season sense, but I agree that as a soccer, as on the soccer calendar, it is very much the main course, 100%. It's the creme de la creme. It's the special dish that we brought, you know, brought the big chef in to cook. But
hey, before you move on, I just want to say one more thing. It's a good point that you made. The one other thing that's going to be happening, we talked about Patrick at Derby, but there's players in MLS fighting to be on their national teams through the first half of this season, right? So there's not just exactly right within the club, right? You have Wilfred Zaha with the Ivory Coast. You got Luca Della Torre, a new signing for Charlotte FC, wants to be on Team USA as well. You got Tim Ream, who's going to be playing center back for Team USA. He's going to be getting his reps in before the summer as well. So there's an underlying story in that first half of the season that is, not only do these players have to be fit and be in form, they have to stay healthy too. They have to make sure that their bodies are in good shape, because in their minds, they're thinking the same thing that we are. It's sometimes said club and country. I think most people think it as country and then club. And I think a lot of the players will be thinking that over the next four months.
Yeah, especially in a World Cup year, especially in the last 4 month countdown before the World Cup gets started, when national teams need to be selected. Really cool thing about it all, though, Johnny, is once the World Cup does wrap up and MLS gets started again and Charlotte FC returns to the pitch, it starts immediately with a rivalry match. And the next phase of the season, stage four of this campaign, we're calling Riding Out versus Rivals. This is we have not faced it. The World Cup will be over before Charlotte FC faces Atlanta United. But within just a few weeks, we will have faced Atlanta United twice. A home match on July 22nd, and then a road match on August 29th. And those are the two bookends of this stage of the campaign for me. This month of July and August, where a bunch of rivals, some of these are road matches, some are home. We play the two match against Atlanta. Columbus and Red Bulls, again, those are sort of, you know, striving rivals, rivals that we pit ourselves against for excellence in the East. The other teams, maybe not so much rivals, but we have a budding rivalry with Chicago. Again, I think Atlanta, the two matches against Atlanta are the real reason for sort of the label on this stage of the season. But it is an interesting way to get back into things, which is facing Atlanta United, a team that we generally, most Charlotte fans, like you mentioned earlier, Johnny, consider the main rivalry of this club, and to not face them until July, but then face them back-to-back within a month's time is pretty great.
I think this match is just days after the World Cup final.
Yeah.
And I that's something else to put into perspective. It's not like when the World Cup ends, we're going to be wondering when the MLS is coming back. I mean, the MLS is basically piggybacking off this tournament and saying, okay, you enjoyed that final? Here's Charlotte Atlanta coming right out of it. Right. Soccer doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's intentional. I'll tell you, I haven't spoken to anybody in the league office, but I promise you that's why they did that. And it's smart. It's a really brilliant scheduling move. And to kick off this part of the campaign against Atlanta United, I think reinvigorates the fan base. You start riding out versus your rivals. It's like grab a shield, mm-hmm. grab a sword, hop on your horse, and meet me out on the battlefield.
They gotta have a flag, you know.
Sure. Yes, and I think this to me is. This graphic encapsulates what Charlotte FC, I think, is more than anything. It's our club riding out into battle, old medieval knight. Is the knight going to be back at the bank this year? The knight is finally becoming one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, we need that key for the flame for sure. I don't see why not. I don't see, if it's working, don't change it.
It's super exciting, Danny, going through all these. And, you know, at this point, I think this is a good question for you. You know, what's your expectations, you know, post World Cup? What do you think? Where do you think Charlotte will be on the table? This isn't kind of like asking for a serious prediction, but I think you're closer to the club than most people, kind of understanding MLS as a whole and the league in general. What's your expectations for post World Cup where Charlotte FC enters this match against Atlanta? Do you think that they're going to be pretty high up on the table, or is this year going to be tough?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think the team gets better with Luca Della Torre. Maybe not as splashy as a signing as some of the other squads have added in this offseason, but Charlotte FC was a good team that is getting a fully healthy Pep Biel, in theory, back.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Potentially a more motivated Leo Labada, although he wasn't great against San Jose from what I saw. But Wilf Zaha is back at least up until the World Cup. You know, that May 23rd match that we mentioned before the World Cup could end up being the last ever Wilf Zaha match. We don't know if he'll extend, but let's assume he extends and comes back for this post-World Cup stretch. I mean, I think we're going to be well-placed. And the good news, though, is, Johnny, like, it's an expectations reset. Let's say Charlotte blows in the first half of the season and loses to Miami, you know, loses home to Red Bulls and gets beat, you know, twice by Nashville, or, you know, loses to Toronto, Cincy crushes or whatever, all that stuff, New York City. Those are tough matchups. Let's say Charlotte's not in a good spot. Well, then it's like, okay, the second half of the season is about beating Atlanta. We get our rival. We still have our rivalry matches, you know, in hand to like sort of salvage something psychologically, and we'll have Leagues Cup coming up because the Leagues Cup fixtures start in mid-August. August 5th, I believe, is when the Leagues Cup goes. This stretch I defined as July 22nd to August 29th. So, yeah. So there'll still be that trophy, you know, up for grabs, even if things aren't going well. And it's, you know, that I do expect Charlotte to be okay, but the way the league's set up, the way this campaign is broken up, there's a lot to play for if Charlotte ends up being an also-ran by the World Cup times. I think that's the third time I said also-ran in this podcast. So
it's all right. I'll call my shot, even though I asked you. I think they'll be like sixth on the Eastern Conference table. Yeah. At this point, I think that they'll be in with the playoff spots, but I think they'll be fighting to climb the table. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they're top of the league, and I hope they're flying. But it just feels like to me that hanging out around fifth, sixth, seventh this time of the year isn't a bad thing. Rip a run of games, collect a bunch of 3 points, pass go, and get into the top four. I think that to me would be ideal. And by the way, the World Cup's going to end, and basically the transfer window is going to open right up. Isn't that how it happens across the globe, pretty much?
I believe so, yeah, because everybody that plays well at the World Cup starts finding new squads, yeah.
So that's something else to look forward to if you're a soccer fan. You know, we don't really dive. I think one thing that I'm maybe not proud of isn't the best word for it, but one thing that I appreciate about Charlotte Soccer Show is we don't pretend to be like transfer experts. We like transfer news. We like to talk about transfers, but we're in no way, shape, or form are we going to report on it and do a live show every day of the transfer window.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do. There's just so many moving parts. But what I can tell you is the post-World Cup transfer window typically is one of the most exciting transfer windows in soccer.
Yeah.
It's because people have made a name for themselves. Where are they going? All of a sudden, these players who have their moment in the World Cup, not just at the highest stage, but too, there's an opportunity for potentially Charlotte to bring some solid players into the club after watching them play in the World Cup. And after too, think about it like this, these players are about to spend a month in the United States, maybe more. And they might be like, you know what? I might be good for me and my family to just kind of stick around for the rest of the year. Exactly. That's a possibility too, mm-hmm. within this part of the campaign. So again, if you love soccer, man, this is it, Danny. It's all happening in the next 8 to 9 months, and man, is it going to be fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love that idea of Charlotte getting some player who made a name for himself at the World Cup and adding him to Charlotte FC in a transfer window. That'd be great.
They're going to have to replace Wilfred. They're going to have to replace Wilfred Zaha.
potentially. That's what Vargas is for. But anyway, after we wrap up that season series with Atlanta and sort of play the Charlotte Atlanta I-85 Cup in July and August, we move into what I'm calling sort of the penultimate stage of the season. I'm calling it strange days, Johnny, because there's a lot of strangeness. I could have also called this one battle after another, but I didn't necessarily want to play on the movie, recent Oscar nominated movie title thing. So I just called it Strange Days, which is a movie that was not Oscar nominated back in the 90s, but it's well worth a watch with Ralph Fiennes as the star and Juliette Lewis in it as well. A few other big stars. Anyway, Houston Dynamo coming to Charlotte for the first time ever. Dallas Burn, FC Dallas coming to Charlotte for the first time ever. Charlotte going to Providence Park in Portland for the first time ever. There's just, and then intermixed with, so some really weird sort of offbeat, like first time ever type matchups mixed in with critical, crucial matchups against Philadelphia, Columbus, Cincy, teams that we are expecting to be contenders. This is just a strange days. This is a season of being, this is where you're discombobulated, you're battle scarred, you're battle worn. This is the final stretch. From September 5th to October 24th, a lot of back and forth midweek games, road stretches. I'm hoping to go to September 9th at Montreal match on a Wednesday midweek during this stage five of the campaign. I put my Crowns Up and Away tickets request in. We're expecting that to come through. And very it's nice. Just a strange days stretch of the season, stage five, Johnny. It's you got to keep your wits about you once again.
Yes. Yes, you do. And it's just, it's another perfect example about MLS being, and you use the perfect word, strange. MLS is strange. And the reason why MLS is strange is because you can go many years in this league and not play certain clubs. I think it's a problem. And I think MLS needs to figure out a way to make that right. And I do think it's a strange league because it's our fifth season and FC Dallas is coming to the Keep for the first time. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. I don't think that's good for the league. I think MLS needs to figure out a way to make that situation go away. And I'm not saying it's two leagues. I'm not saying it's promotion and relegation. I'm just saying schedule better. Play more Western Conference teams and try to figure it out. I know it's not easy as it's much easier said than it is done, but I think it's strange. I think this league is strange sometimes. And at this point, I don't even feel like FC Dallas is like part of the same league. Like it just feels like a cup match or something.
We faced them in Leagues Cup once, but yeah,
right. I think that
Houston,
was
we've played at Houston in one of the most boring matches in Charlotte FC history. I think it was the Latanzio era. I think we played nil-nil. It might have been Dino. It was nil-nil. That was horrible.
I got bad news for you, Danny. There's been a lot of boring matches in Charlotte FC history. So. Yeah.
We should that could be an episode someday. The five most boring matches in Charlotte FC history, and would our lists even match? I don't know, but it is strange. Strange days are here, and that's a stretch that, again, all you need to do, Johnny, like you said, to get yourself in playoff position in this league is set a league record and win 9 matches in a row in the final month and a half of the season, and that's all you need to do, right? So. Because it was a strange stretch for Charlotte FC that time last year, and I can't wait till we get there. Before we move to the final push, Johnny, which is the last 3 matches of the year, home against Montreal, home against Orlando, and then at Miami, at Intermessi on Decision Day, storming the castle, hopefully to win a supporter shield. Charlotte FC has stated as their goal they want to win the East this year. Ashley Westwood has made no secret of it. Wilf has mentioned it. Dino's mentioned it. Winning the East is the goal. Storming this castle, making a final push. What if we have to beat Miami to do it at the end? If we somehow have weathered all this campaign and come out into a position at this end of the season where we can do it, do you believe, Johnny, and do you think that Charlotte FC can defend the fortress, protect the keep, and storm the castle and win it all and achieve their goal of Eastern Conference Supporters Shield?
In the spirit of the Winter Olympics now underway in Milan, I'll answer your question by saying, do I believe in miracles? Yes, I certainly do. And I think that Charlotte could win the East. I think that this final stage of the campaign could go down in club history as the most important final push that this club has seen, because just like us, and that's why I made the comment about the trophy off the top of the show, and heading into year five, there's no doubt that the people within the building are feeling that too. Mm-hmm. Dean Smith, Ashley Westwood, Zoran Krenetta, Brant Bronico, Christian Kalina, you know, players that have been with this club for quite a bit of time now, Kerwin Vargas as well. They're all saying, hey, our time is now. And we've been playing together. We feel good about our season and our opportunity to do something special this year. We have confidence. We finished top four in the East. How do we make it happen? And I got news for you, Danny. I'll tell you how it happens. You draw on the road. This team has to draw on the road. This team has to pick up points on the road and win at home. If it can do that, then potentially I'll answer your question by saying, yes, I do believe in miracles, and Charlotte could win the East this year.
Learn to love the draw, man. And that is learn to love the campaign, you know, from the frosty first steps to the long march home, you know, as you wonder, is all truly quiet on the Eastern Front?
That one scares me, Danny. This photo scares me.
As you ride out against your rivals into a time of strange days before making your final push. It's all, don't be scared. Don't be scared of the campaign. Don't be scared of trench warfare. Study it, learn from it. Hope we never have to face it again. Yep. It's a horrible, horrible thing. Read up on your 19 teams history 100 years ago. Bad times. We don't want to go back there again, but we do want to go back to being an Eastern Conference contender as Charlotte FC. So let's bring it. Let's get it on, Johnny. We're two weeks away.
That's why I think we wanted to do this episode and just kind of publish this on our YouTube page. Appreciate everybody who's subscribed to Charlotte Soccer. Is it Charlotte Soccer City or Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube?
I think it's Charlotte Soccer Show on YouTube.
Yeah. We had City on Instagram for a while there. So thanks for Charlotte Soccer Show subscribers on YouTube. Obviously our podcast feeds as well. If you're with us here on year five, appreciate you being here. We're going to continue to do this. And I think ultimately what we're going to try to do this year and what I'm going to try to do this year more than anything is just kind of take a bigger picture approach of the club. I'm not going to try to live or die based on every single result. I don't think that at this point for me, Danny, that's not my priority when it comes to Charlotte FC this year. My priority as a season ticket holder, inaugural season ticket holder, someone that goes to these matches, supports the club, really enjoys the social atmosphere around this organization, around the club. That's the type of thing that I'm going to really hang my hat on, win, lose, or, of course, draw. And that's really what I'm going to hang my hat on this season is try to enjoy this as much as possible and be honest about my feelings about the club, because if things aren't going well, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat the situation. But I do think that I respect a lot of the people that work in the building. 5 years into this project, you know, you've got people that work for the club that I consider friends, that people that I want to see do well. And in no way, shape, or form am I going to be taking cheap shots on this show throughout the year about people that I, you know, do care about and have built good relationships with. So while I won't take a cheap shot, I will be critical when it's fair. So you can count on me to bring the heat when it's appropriate. But other than that, Danny, I think I'm really just trying to enjoy this season, really build up to the World Cup. And for me, the most important question is of all of this is, are you going to do the World Cup pool? Are you going to set up that World Cup pool again?
I might bring it back. I might bring back the World Cup pool. It's pretty fun. It depends. Yeah.
I mean, the Charlotte Soccer – think about it like this. The last time we did this, the show was in its very beginning stages. Yeah. I remember you and our friend Matt Geslin, our photographer for Charlotte Soccer Show. You guys did some World Cup shows.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like in the very beginning of this. So I think it would be really fun as a full circle kind of moment. And I can help you run the pool for sure, is to get all our Charlotte Soccer Show family in the pool and figure out a way to.
The pool is a beautiful thing. For those who like fantasy games, this is the best World Cup fantasy game that I've ever played. It's one that I sort of hybridized from a different game that a friend had run for the NHL. So, yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it. But what I heard, John, they say great podcasts are created off tension. So you said a few things you're not going to do. So that leaves me to live and die by every result and take cheap shots. So that's what I'm going to do. You can definitely count on me to take the cheap shots, and we'll go from there.
Oh man, that's pretty good. But I, you know, you usually don't take cheap shots. Honestly,
no, like, I try not to. Yeah.
No. I think you've taken cheap shots at people that aren't part of the organization.
Right. Yeah.
100%. Which is fine. Which I'll do that. I'll continue to do that. Like I'll certainly continue to take cheat shots about the fan base, because those are the people that you know, I like hanging out with, and but there's been a lack of respect towards me from some people. So at the end of the day, if the fan base I think is not acting in a way that I think our supporters group should, I'll be happy to call that out as well. Because again, like I said, that's the point here. I'm not a journalist when it comes to Charlotte FC. It's not something that I'm doing professionally. It's not something that we're doing professionally. It's something that we're doing for fun. We're watching this club. We're trying to enjoy it. So I'm not really trying to turn this into anything more except for you and I hanging out, talking about this club. And if there's one big shoe to fall this year, as we talk about this whole five-year situation and this expansion club and things that still kind of need to happen, right? Because we've always talked about like, oh, look, there's a first. I think that we're going to be dealing with some firsts this year for sure. I think we're going to find things are going to get a little uncomfortable this season. I think that there's going to be some players who who've had a nice solid foundation here at the club that that's going to be questioned. I think that it's a put up or shut up year for a number of guys on the squad. I think those people would know exactly who they are and why they're on the list. And for what it's worth, Edon Toklamati is not on that list. Edon Toklamati is this club starter, and he's going to have one of the best seasons of his career. I'll tell you that.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, there's a list. I think this episode was the campaign. And next episode is the list. So can't wait, John. I can't wait. It's a blast doing this with you. I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather do it with or even want to. So let's keep it up. Let's have fun. Let's be social. Let's enjoy the matches. Let's hope we get some wins. And let's celebrate soccer, this beautiful game. I'll even try, inspired by you, to embrace the draw a little bit.
It's got to embrace the draw, Danny. Remember, and this is serious. It's for everybody out there, right? If you draw, you don't lose. And it's better when you don't lose. It just is. Think about it like that. Even though it's not that fun, even though it doesn't seem as exciting, unless it is a good draw. Sometimes there is a good draw. But this club has an opportunity to go 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, 10 games, 15 games without losing if you know how to draw.
Be great.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. I'm John Hayes. He's Danny Brams. Welcome to our season preview, the campaign episode. Excited to get things kicked off. Danny's been doing a great job, by the way, with decoding the presser. He's been covering these press conferences. He'll continue to cover these press conferences. The Wilfred Zaha episode, we'll make sure we put that as the end screen for this episode. We'll throw up a link to the Wilfred Zaha decoding the presser. If you haven't seen that yet, make sure you watch that next, because it's a phenomenal presser. It's Sunday morning. I know we've got a big match coming up, Danny. It's Liverpool Manchester City at 11:30. Mm-hmm. I think there's Crystal Palace is playing right now. So you can count on us to be around, and we've got our schedule set for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yep.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here, Danny?
Let the games begin, man. I can't wait. I love the short off season, but it's still somehow too long. So Dino's at the wheel. Let's go.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Dino's at the wheel. Season number 5, getting ready to get started right now. And as always,
for the crown, baby.